I was sold a lie. Moved to Florida, they said. It will be warm, they said. Look, we're doing chili. If you want people to come to your chili cook-off, have samples out there. And today would be a great day to have a sample of chili. Maybe it would warm me up. Okay? Hey, love you. Hey, welcome to Crosswater. We are so glad that you are here today. Hey, if you're visiting with us today, maybe for the first or second time, I just want to say thank you. We are so glad to have you with us today. We are in the middle of a series that we started last week that is simply called Home. You know, the way we look at it is our church should be an extension of our homes, and our homes are an extension of our true home. That's God's home, Him living in us. I am so thankful that the Holy Spirit of God lives in me. I did nothing to deserve that. I did nothing to convince Him to come in to me. All I did was I said, Father, I have sinned. I am short of your glory and honor, and I need you in my life. And when I did that, He moved in, and He is in me to stay. And the good news, that's the gospel, the good news that God will redeem and live in anybody who calls on Him. The Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so as the Lord is at home in us, we want to see Him at home in not only our individual lives, but also in our families, in our church. And in that, as we go into our community, into our world, then there's a little bit of God at home in that also. That's what the world needs, is more, is an extension of God's home in the world around us. And what we're doing is we're really talking through over this series that we're in, we're talking about what is our mission and vision here at Crosswater. Well, I want to share it with you this morning. Our vision statement and our mission follows. Here it is on the screen. If you'll show that, please. It's not coming. I'm just going to read it, and maybe it'll magically show up. Here it is. Crosswater exists to empower families to live their purpose in Christ by encountering God, embracing others, engaging the world, and expanding the kingdom of heaven. There it is. Crosswater exists to empower families. And that's not, of course, regulated to only families. That's anybody. That's individuals. That's anybody. We are here to empower people to live their purpose in Christ by encountering God, embracing others, engaging the world, and expanding the kingdom. Last week, we talked about that empowering. How are we empowered to see God at work in our life? And that's really to let our lives be His home. He is the one that empowers us when we make our lives the home for the Lord. Today, we want to talk about that second thought there, is that we are here to encounter God. That is what really life should be about, is encountering God. I don't want to just attend a church. I want to encounter God. There's not much value in attending a church. There might be a little bit, but there's not much value in attending church. There's a tremendous amount of value in encountering God. And as we're going to read in God's word today, if you have your Bible, I would strongly encourage you to turn with me to Joshua chapter 5. What we're doing is we're looking at the life of Joshua, because Joshua was a man that God was at home in him. He clearly was. Joshua was a man who loved the Lord, and God was at home in him. And because God was at home in him, God used him to find home in the task that He had for him. God called Joshua to a big task, and that was to follow his predecessor, Moses, a man that God used in a tremendous way, right? And so God called Joshua to follow Moses, and really the task was a hard one. You see, God's plan for Israel was that when they were freed out of Egypt, they had been 80 years, they had been slaves in Egypt. And God called them out of Egypt, and God promised them that they would have a promised land, a home to call their own. The problem was they sinned before God, and their sin, as Bob said a minute ago, you know, God's commandments either bear a blessing or a challenge. And because Israel chose not to follow God's commands, they then had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years before they could go to their home. And as they got to their home, but what happened in that 40-year period, as they're wandering around in the wilderness, other nations went in and set up camp in that land. And so it wasn't as easy as just crossing the Jordan River and setting up camp. They now had to fight and battle their way back to where God wanted them to be. And isn't that a principle of life? That when we don't listen to God the first time, that when we resist him and do it our way first, we then have to battle our way back to where God wants us to be. It's a lot easier to obey right away. I tell my kids that all the time, and they just never seem to listen, right? I told my kids one time, I said, you know, I can give you the solution on how you can never get in trouble ever and have the smoothest, easiest life. Obey right away. You just do that, and it's perfect, smooth sailing. They won't do it. And the reality is, I'm just as hard-headed when it comes to God's plan for my life sometimes. I am the same way. I don't always obey right away. And then what happens is I have to battle my way back to where God wants me to be. And so as they are establishing and settling back in this land, their first big challenge was a city that stood in their way. I mean, as they're going right back into the promised land now, their first opponent in their way was a city called Jericho. And they needed to defeat this city because it was a big city that was going to prevent them from being at home in this land. Look, maybe there's a Jericho in your life that is preventing and keeping you from God being at home in your life, or you being at home in this world. You know, the reality is we all have these Jerichos from time to time in our life, these things in us or around us that we have to take seriously and deal with. And many times it is a battle of getting to where God wants us to go. But if you have a Jericho, then I pray that today's message will be encouraging to you, because there's a very strong battle plan, something you can do today to defeat the Jericho in your life. They knew this was a big city. It was well fortified, but they had to defeat it. And that's a daunting task sometimes, to defeat those Jerichos in our life. But Joshua had an encounter with God, and that encounter with God gave him everything he needed to defeat that Jericho. Listen, that's no different with us. Encountering God is going to give you everything you need to defeat the giants and the battles and the Jerichos of your life. I can't imagine trying to go through this life and all the Jerichos that are out there, because the truth is there are many Jerichos in the world around us. Things out there that are for our harm. We know that the devil is prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And so we better see that there is Jericho out there, and we better have an encounter with God. Why? So that we can be best positioned to defeat those Jerichos as they are out there in our life. We better be encountering God. Is encountering God more of a priority to you than going to church? Because if it is, if encountering God is more a priority than going to church or going to the Bible study or paying your tithe or doing whatever it may be, encountering God needs to be our pursuit, not the things of God. You know, sometimes I'm afraid that we conflate, that means we mix up the God and the things of God. And I'm afraid what we do is we allow the things of God, I do this sometimes, I'll allow the things of God to suffice for God himself. When the reality is I don't need the things of God. Those are great byproducts. I need God. I need to encounter him. The only way I know that I'm going to overcome the sins in my life and the problems in my family and the issues in my home and the issues in the church and the issues in my life, the only way I'm going to be able to overcome those things is if I am in a regular pattern of encountering God. That's what we need to do as a church. Be totally committed to encountering God. Do you want to be empowered today, Crosswater, to find your purpose in Christ? I do. Well, then make encountering God your top priority. That's where it starts. So here's what happens. Joshua chapter 5, as he is going out and doing some reconnaissance, he's going out to see, okay, let me get a good view of this city that I'm facing, this Jericho that is standing before me. Let me go out there and kind of develop a battle plan and just do some recon and see what we're up against. So Joshua walks out, and in Joshua chapter 5, verse 13, here's how he encountered God. It says this: when Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing before him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua said to him, "Are you for us or for our enemies, our adversaries?" He said, "No, I'm the commander of the Lord's army. Now I have come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" And the commander of the army said to Joshua, "Take off your sandals from your feet, for the place you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. You see, what happens here is as Joshua is trying to establish a home with the Lord, he realizes that he first must encounter God. That's the same with us, with our families. Do you want God to be at home in your life, in your family, in your church, in your community? Then encountering God is where that starts. Joshua had this incredible encounter with God. And I want you to see three things this morning, because I'm asking the question here today is, where do we encounter God? Well, notice that he didn't encounter God at the church, right? A lot of times in our minds we think, well, I'm going to a church so that I can encounter God. And I pray, we spend a lot of time planning and preparing and praying that this will be an environment where you can encounter God, and praise God for that. But it is sad if this is the only place you're encountering God. Because the reality is Joshua is not anywhere close to a church at this point when he encounters God. He is out in the desert, right? He is out on the battlefield. And we live in the battlefield of life sometimes. And we need to encounter God in those locations too. So encountering God, I think there's three ways Joshua encounters God in this scripture. And I want us to look at these today. And I want us to be committed as a church and as individuals, as families, to say, we're going to make encountering God our top priority. Here's what the first way. We encounter God when we take a flight. That's right. Home Alone style, running through the airport to catch the plane before it takes off. To encounter God, we must take a flight. What does it say Joshua did? Look at this. In verse 13, Joshua was by Jericho. He lifted up his eyes. He looked up. He saw God for who he was and not who he wanted him to be, or not who he thought he should be, or not because of what he wanted God to do for him. Right? So often when we try to encounter God, we try to encounter God on our terms, not his. But for us to make an encounter with the God of the universe, the risen Savior Jesus Christ, for the Holy Spirit to be at home in us, we must come to him and look up and say, God, we're looking at life from your perspective. And that was even exacerbated in what Joshua said. Once he saw the commander of the Lord's army standing there in the desert, he said, are you for us or them? Are you with Jericho or are you with Israel? Are you with Josh Harville or are you with my neighbor that I don't like? Are you with me trying to get the raise or are you with my boss who doesn't like me? Are you for this or that? Because in life, don't we look at things like that so often? We're just trying to position ourselves to put us first and put others second. And what did Joshua get from God? He said, neither. He said, it's not option A, it's not option B. It's an option that you didn't even see on the table. Why? Because it was way above the way you think about life. He said, I am the commander of the Lord's army. I'm not with you or them. I'm with God. And see, that's what it means for us to take a flight and worship. It means for us to say, we are coming to a risen Savior. We are coming to a living God. We're not following gods that died thousands of years ago. We're following a God that's alive today. A God that is proven of that by a tomb that a stone is rolled off and it's empty. That's the God we are following. And so for us to encounter God, for you to encounter God in your life, in your family, in your home, in your church, you can't come in saying, God, let it be my way. Is it their way? Is it my way? No, it's his way. We must look up and take a flight. So let me ask you a question. Do you have your boarding pass? Because the last time I checked, the only way they're letting you on an airplane these days is if you have a boarding pass. What does that mean? That means, have you gone to God in your life and said, Father, it's not my will and my way. It's got to be yours. I'm surrendering my life to you. I'm looking up and I need you to be at work in me like only you can, God. I'm willing to give it all to you, God. Because I know that only you are going to be able to take me up in the way I need to be taken. To encounter God, we must take a flight. But secondly, to encounter God, we must make a trust fall. Make a trust fall. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with what a trust fall is, but a trust fall is where you literally are standing a lot of times on some type of a ledge, and you make a fall, typically back, and you have your friends down there that are supposed to catch you. And it requires trust for you to fall. It would be like if I was standing on this ledge. Oh boy, here we go. Do we have workman's comp here? And it's literally, if I ask these characters down here to come up and catch me, do I right now trust that these guys are going to catch me? Do I? I'm not too sure. Probably, I can give you that. But isn't that the way we approach God? Guys, right there. We go to God saying, yeah, we probably trust you. We'll trust you with our Sunday mornings. We'll trust you with this or that in our life, our Christmas and our Easter. But God, I just can't trust you with paying my tithe this month. Well, it's really cold outside. I can't trust you by getting up and going to church. Or when the times in life where it's not easy and it's not convenient to follow God, then it's hard to trust him. But look what Joshua did. It says that once he looked up and saw God for who he was, the very next thing he did was he fell straight down on his face and the Bible said he worshiped. Now I want you to look at your neighbor and say the word Saha. 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 That's the Hebrew word for worship. And it literally means to fall down. It literally means to fall down. That's what it means to worship God, to encounter God, is to trust him enough that you're willing to fall before him and give anything to him that he asks of you. Going back to that airplane analogy, once you board the plane, once you get your boarding pass and you board the plane, who are you now trusting to get you to the destination? The pilot, right? You have nothing to do with whether that plane is going to make it from here to there. You are trusting that that pilot will get you there. And that is the way we need to approach the Lord. We don't need Jesus to take the wheel. We need Jesus to take the cockpit, man. We need him to get us to where he wants us to go in life. And we've got to put full trust that he's going to get us there. Are we willing to trust him? Are we willing to take that trust fall and trust in him? My son has a bicycle, Rusty. My son has a bicycle. And I took off one of his training wheels yesterday. Here's one of my son's training wheels off of his bike. And when I was taking this off yesterday, he was a nervous wreck. He was like, he's 5 years old and he's still not figured out how to ride the bike without the training wheel. And he's like, Dad, don't take that off. I may fall. And I'm like, you never learn to ride the bike with them on. You see, here's the reality, Crosswater. I'm afraid so often in life, we want God to be in control because we want blessings and we want heaven and we want to know our loved ones are there and we want to certainly go there when we die. But God, we will follow you as long as we can keep the training wheels on. But you see, we serve a God that says we have to trust him completely. We have to lay it all down before him and say, God, you're in complete control of my life. I'm giving it all to you. Let me ask you today, Crosswater, have you given God complete control of your life? Saying, God, I trust you to be the Lord of my life, and the things that you tell me to do in your word, I'm going to do these things, and I'm going to be committed to you, even if it doesn't make sense to me. Why? Because I trust you today. That's the question. Do you trust that Jesus as Lord of your life? And the third way we encounter God when we take a flight. When we look up, we see who he is, and we get our boarding pass. We trust God when we encounter God, when we trust in him, and we give everything to him, and we take the training wheels off of our spiritual life. And then thirdly, we encounter God when we take the shoes off our feet. We encounter God when we take the shoes off of our feet. The last thing that happens there in verse 15, it says this, and the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take off your sandals from your feet. For the place you are standing is holy ground. And Joshua did so. Now I want you to think for a minute. What famous story did Joshua and Israel know about from Moses? It was the story where Moses was being called of God. And the very same thing happened, right? Moses is kind of going out there and God's about to call him to lead Israel out of Egypt. He's walking out and he sees this bush that's on fire. It's burning, but it's not burning up. And what does God say through the bush to Moses? Take off your shoes for you're on holy ground. And now here, Joshua is getting the same message from God, the same exact thing. He's encountering, Moses had encountered God years ago, and now Joshua's encountering God, and he's getting the same message. What does that mean for us? Here's one of the ways I think that applies to us practically is God is not interested in someone else in your life encountering him. He's interested in you encountering him. I mean, think about this for a minute. We want our kids to know who Jesus is. We'll go to church so that our kids will know who Jesus is. That's great. But God wants you to know who he is too. Right? Well, I know I'm a Christian today because my dad, my grandfather was a pastor. Literally, I'm the seventh generation pastor in my family. That's a true story. But God's not interested in my life for all those former pastors, my great-grandfather and all those people being pastors. He's interested if I have had an encounter with God. Just because your spouse or your cousin or your child has an encounter with God, great, praise God for that they have. But the question is, have you had an encounter with God? Right? Joshua, if Joshua in that moment when he encountered God, he could have said, oh, well, I don't need to take off my shoes because Moses has already done that. And you see, what God is, I think, looking at us is saying, have you, Crosswater? Have we encountered God? Not what happened last week or last year or 10 years ago. Not what happened to our cousin or our uncle or our aunt. But what is happening to us? Have we had an encounter with God? You see, that's what it means to encounter God. It means we have an experience with him that is personal to us. Have you had that experience in your life of encountering God? Because when you do, you get to this point where you take off the shoes of your feet. And one other thought on that is, it's a lifetime commitment, man. You know, I think people, for the most part, will encounter God in seasons. They'll encounter God maybe in this season of their life, but then they'll go in a drought. Well, there'll be no more encounters. When you encounter God, he wants that to be an active, daily, ongoing process in your life. I would much rather be more in season than out of season. You know what I'm saying? There's going to be times in my life where I don't encounter God. Why? Because I'm a sinful human being that doesn't always follow God's will. I'm willing to admit it. But I pray that every year that goes by, every week that goes by, every month, every day that goes by, there are more times in my life where I am encountering him than I'm not. Look, I want to close with one final thought on this. And that is this. Why do we want to encounter God? Why do we want to take that flight and look up and see life from his perspective? Why do we want to trust and fall into him? And why do we want to encounter him and take the shoes off our feet? Here's why. Because God wants us to encounter him so that we can help others encounter him. I mean, think about this for a minute. God has done a great work in us. If you're a follower of Jesus today, praise God. He's done a great work in your life, and that's awesome. But he hasn't just done that for you. He's done that so that he can impact others through you. Right? We encounter God not just, and I think this is a key point that we need to understand. The goal is not just to encounter God. The goal is to encounter God so that we can now help others encounter him. That's the mission of Jesus. Go into the world and make disciples. In other words, the mentality can't be, whew, boy, I had a great week at church. Man, I encountered God. Or I had a great week with my family. We encountered God. That's great. But we're encountering God so that we can go help others encounter him also. Let me give you an example of that. I've been preaching up here today in two shoes that don't match. Do we have a camera that we can get on my shoes right here? Here, Dustin, I want you to look at this. Can y'all see? Look, you probably can't see. Is that too blurry? Let me back up. Super blurry. I've got on two different shoes, man. You cannot trust a preacher who can't wear the same shoes. You can't. Do not trust a preacher who's wearing two different shoes. Don't do it. You know what I need? I really need help. I need the right shoe. Dude, you got the right shoe for me. Thank you, man. Here, you can have that shoe. Just don't sniff it. Now I have on the right shoes. Isn't that incredible? That kid just helped me. That kid just helped me. What's your name, dude? Michael just helped me wear the right shoes. You know what I need in life? Somebody to help me encounter God. What do we want to be at Crosswater? Are we a church that's here just to encounter God? Praise God if that's, I want that to be true. Don't misunderstand me. I want this to be a place where we encounter God. Absolutely. But I'm telling you, church, God is not here just for us to encounter him. He is here so that we will encounter him to be compelled, motivated, encouraged, and equipped to go out and help other people encounter him. That's why we're here. If God is empowering us to experience him, then that experience should overflow to other people in our lives, in our community, in our schools, in our workplaces. We encounter God so that we can go help others encounter him also. Is there somebody in your life that you need to help them find the right shoe? You know, when we go to people that don't know who Jesus is, and then we see that their life doesn't reflect his principles, we've got a choice to make. We either get mad and say, I don't want anything to do with that person, or we say, here, let me help you find the right shoe. Because my preacher, he couldn't even put on the right one, you know? We need to be a church that's encountering God. We're taking the flight, looking it up to him. We're trust falling into his will for our life. And then we're taking off our shoes so that we can experience him, so that we can go help others experience him also. Would you bow with me in prayer? Father, today, the prayer, God, is that we would be people, individuals, families, homes, where encountering God is a regular practice. Father, I know that encountering you is a lifetime change. It doesn't just change or impact me for a day, God. Encountering you doesn't impact me for a day, a week, a month, a year. It impacts me for a lifetime. God, that minute when I accepted you years ago when I was a young man, it changed my life. And God, that's my prayer, is that we would have genuine encounters with God that would make eternal changes in us so that we could go and help others encounter you also. Father, thank you for the help. Thank you for the people that have helped us. Thank you for the people that this church was built on that may not even be here anymore today, but they were a help in the gospel plan of building the church up. And God, it's our job now to take the torch and carry it forward and be the families, be the homes, be the individuals that you want us to be to encounter you. We love you, Father. In Jesus' name, we pray.